and welcome to another bonus episode of Temporal Culture War. I am one of the hosts of the show, and my name is Benny Lipchansky.
I'm one of the other hosts of the show, Clayton Ashley.
I'm the third host of the show, Maddie Lipchansky. Again, that's right. We're the only podcast.
I did say that in a way that applied three hosts, another host.
Like two people. That's right. You really set me up to be the third host of the show, which I am, and also the first. And you're the second. No fourth.
Well, Maddie's, what are we here for?
Well, Clay, can you? You're the producer of the show. Can you double me on this one? Today, this is a bonus episode, so it's okay. We can be a little looser. Uh-huh. People have already read the title of the episode, what it's going to be. But today we are talking about the 2002 film neo-noir? Question mark?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Erotic thriller? Brian De Palma film, Femme Fatale.
Which does imply very much that it would be noir-related, but...
It really does.
How much so?
How noir is it? I don't know. Is it a neo-noir? Is it an erotic thriller? Is it the first 5 minutes of it? Is it, what if Ocean's 8 was good?
Yes.
What is the film about prophetic dreams of heisting lesbians? I don't know. I don't know, Clayton. There's no answers. There's no easy answers, just like the film says.
Real quick, because we don't have much culture or anything else to talk about since we've literally talked about what else came out the week of this movie.
That's right.
In addition to the Star Trek you could watch that week, because that's the focus of our podcast.
That's right.
I just would bring up, this is a De Palma, Brian De Palma. And I'm just curious, what other films in that filmography are you aware of or have seen?
I mean, I've seen the first Mission Impossible movie.
Sure. Yes. That's one I've seen. And is good.
Reminded me of this movie a lot in that it is like also very, very chic and not incredibly easy to follow.
Yeah. Yes.
I've seen Carlito's Way, which is good. I've seen the film Scarface. Of course, the film Scarface.
I saw it so long ago, I don't remember, honestly, much of that film.
Scarface, also a movie that's kind of lumpy and weird and a little hard to follow. I'll say I've seen the film Carrie, which is very good. I've never seen The Untouchables. I've never seen The Phantom of the Paradise, though it's been on my list for a very long time. I did see, in theaters, Clayton.
Oh, I bet I know where.
I saw the film Mission to Mars.
Oh, I was going to say Blowout at MoMe, but I guess not.
No, I did not see Blowout at MoMe. Did you see Blowout at MoMe?
I saw Blowout at MoMe because,
a museum for cows?
Yeah. A lot of holes in this guy's filmography, I'm realizing.
Well, he has directed
a lot.
28 movies, it looks like. That's a lot of movies.
It's a lot. And this is fifth to last. But like, yeah, a couple of the ones you mentioned, I did see The Untouchables, which is, you know, a pretty good biopic style kind of, I didn't say there's a ton of flair to it, but it did what it said on the box. But one of my like all time favorite movies is Blowout. Like Blowout is really good, I think.
Okay. And I think an interesting thing about him as a director is his movies always do have this sort of, they always feel a little more like feminist than they need to be to me. They're a little like, they feel a little gay. They feel a little femme. I don't know. I was just kind of like, he's for like his generation of like white guy directors, like New Hollywood.
Yeah.
Esque guys. He does seem a little more, I don't know, like on a different wavelength than a lot of them.
And I mean, I guess just from that filmography or that number of films, a real working guy who did a lot of genres. And you mentioned Mission to Mars, which is the thing he did before Femme Fatale, that was the thing I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he did that kind of forgettable sci-fi movie.
It does feel
movie.
Like a very work for hire-y kind of movie. I don't know if it was, it is based on the Walt Disney ride, Mission to Mars.
I forgot that was a Walt Disney ride.
Or a Disney World ride? Or is it a Disney... is an attraction at Disneyland and Disney World in Tomorrowland called Mission to Mars.
Wow.
That used to be called Rocket to the Moon. And it was, and then in 1975, it was changed to Mars because humans, and I'm quoting Wikipedia here, because humans had already been to the moon.
Well,
thank you.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's the, it's Gary Sinise.
O'Connell. I've seen that because that was Nielsen. Era where I like started getting to movies and just was a dork and really liked sci-fi and would just watch anything. And that was not like a well-regarded sci-fi movie. And I watched it and I would accept some crap, honestly. But that was one I remembered not liking, being like, this is boring. It was like attempting. It felt like it was attempting to do some 2001-esque like.
Yes.
Humanity's place in the universe stuff, but it was not quality.
Yeah, it seems like the film had been written and cast already, and Gore Verbinski was going to make it, which makes sense as the preeminent maker of Disney ride movies. Gore Verbinski.
Wow.
When did Pirates of the Caribbean get made?
Oh damn, was that what he did instead?
I'm saying, did he go and do the first one?
Well, do pirates instead, or astronauts? I won't do both.
The Curse of the Black Pearl was 2003. So yeah, he left and then ended up doing that instead.
But again, to put a point in it, watch Blowout. I think Blowout is a great movie about movies. You'll have a good time, if nothing else.
The film Mission Impossible is pretty good, I think. No? You don't like it?
I love the first one. That's
I think it's pretty good. I rewatched all the Mission movies a couple years ago, and I was kind of shocked at how much I liked the first one.
Yes.
Despite as like a teenager being like, this is dumb, I hate it. The only thing I remember is the gum.
It's all like weird, it's horny, but it's also lurid in its like color and cinematography, and the
it's
paranoia funny. Pervades it. It's really good.
He's really good at getting that sort of like that feeling into his movies that they feel like there's a lot of, I think what to me feels like a thing that you see in a lot of queer filmmakers of like the 80s and 90s. That's very common that he's got in his movies is this like amount of like, everyone feels like they're having sex in a dangerous way. You know, like it's all like dangerous fucking on screen. And
I think
a pretty frank, pretty frank lesbian stuff happening. I forgot also Mr. De Palma made the very ill-advised Tom Hanks, Bruce Willis, Melanie Griffith, Kim Cattrall, Bonf. That's a crazy, it's Nikolai Coster-Waldau from Game of Thrones, Cerise Van Houten from Game of Thrones, and Guy Pearce.
He wanted to feel like he was in Game of Thrones.
I mean, that might have been like here's a way to get funding, is we've got Jamie Lannister and Melisandre of Eshai. Crazy.
Well,
anyways,
I guess we should also, do you think people should watch this film before we talk about, because there's no way not to talk about this without just talking about what happens.
Yeah, we're going to spoil it insanely. I do recommend watching it. I watched it last night.
Same.
And which is, I know to you, the listener, so important to know when I,